So we're holding on page 74 in Sanhedrin Os Pei Zayin. We learned last time the Gemara had asked the question, is Kvura basically because of Kapara or because of Bizoyin? Is in other words, we don't want Parshat, the body is going to be left there to decay and it's going to be a Bizoyin to the person and to the family, or is it because of Kapara? So we went through, the Gemara had gone through different possible proofs. The last couple we mentioned, I think actually when we learned it, we actually by mistake I skipped a line or two over there. But we said we had a story involving a son of Yerovam, where Achia Shiloni tells the boy's mother, Yerovam's wife, that they're going to bury him. Kizelavada Yover Yerovam Okever. And the question is, if it's a matter of kapara, then why only him? Why not the rest of the family? And the answer is, and then the Gemara's answer that he was a tzaddik relative to them, so he deserves kapara. They do not. And again, you have the Rishoyim of Yumi's times. Also, he says Hashem doesn't want them to have this kind of kapara. With that said, we're going to learn in the Gemara soon about them that the fact is the ones of them who were killed by the Goyim, that alone is a kapara for them. We'll get to that point soon. Okay. So now the Gemara asks, Iboilahu. So now we have another question. Hespeda. What about the hesped? Now, the hesped includes, it includes what we think of nowadays as the hesped, a speech, one or more speeches that they say by the Levaya, talking about the milos of the person. And in a Chabad, we don't do hespedim for various reasons. Instead, we have afterwards, you get together after the shiva or after the shloshim or whatever, and you talk and you do it then. But in any case, in the Velt, they have actual hespedim. But in Gemara terminology, it includes those, but it includes anything else that's done by the Levaya to arouse people to evoke people's emotions and arouse them to tears. So all of that, yukara dechayehu or yukara yokra, whatever dechayehu, or yakra deshichvihu. Is it basically for the honor of the living or for the honor of the dead? The hesped, all the crying and mourning and talking about the person's maisim tovim and all that. And the Gemara says, "L'may naftimina, what would be the practical difference?" Ga'omar, suppose a person says, the person gives instructions before he passes away, "Lotus to do alahu gavra." Don't make a hesped for that person, meaning for me. So, if it's for his honor, fine, he wants to forego that honor. But if it's the honor of the living, then he doesn't have the right to forego that honor for them. Another nachtamina would be it costs for the people who lead the hesped, whether we're talking about speeches, whether we're talking about they would say certain kinds of poems over there that would arouse people's emotions. Like Moed Moed Cotton gives a bunch of examples of that, for example. So you got to pay these people. So the question is, can we take money from the yoshim for that? If we say that it's the honor of the dead, then fine. He said, "Don't do it." So even if he doesn't say one way or the other, but the yoshim say we don't want, then we can't we can't force them. But if it's yikarad dechaye, then the other way around. So if it's yikarad deshachvi, if it's for the honor of the dead, then he has the right to override his own honor. But if he didn't say one way or the other, we're going to assume that he wanted, and we're going to force the yoshim to pay for it. So we're trying to discuss: do we mean that the yoshim would have to pay for it out of their own pocket? Do we mean it have to be paid for out of the estate? Whereas if we say it's yikarad dechaye, then they have the right to override it, but he doesn't have the right to override it because he doesn't have the right to give away their honor.
Yes, spading is one thing. Mekoninus is something.
So Mekoninus is related. So we're going to talk about Mekoninus. We're going to talk about Mekoninus soon. We're going to talk. These are all parts. Mekoninus are women whose job was to arouse people's emotions with their.
Spading weren't done by women,
but the point is, in other words, the hesped all includes. It includes all of the mourning, everything that was done in order to arouse people's emotions and get them to cry and mourn for the dead is all included in the concept of hesped. The Gemara is going to mention soon. Yeah, it's going to mention soon the Mekoninus. In other places, the Gemara talks about Chalilin. They would have a certain kind of flute that they would play sad music over there by Levaya. All of this was meant to arouse people's emotions. Yeah. Now, Tosfos points out there are. We have, for example, the story in the Gemara in Yevamos, where many years after Shaul had passed away, there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, and when David asks the Urim Tumim what's going on, he's told that because they'd make a proper hesped for Shaul. Now, if they didn't make a proper hesped, fine. Obviously, they were moichel on it. And if we're saying they can't, then obviously the answer is it must be yakwid ashafi. It must be for the honor of the dead. Otherwise, what's the problem? So Tosfos says, fine, but first of all, you could say they were afraid at the time to make a hesped for him, because after all, it might look like they're still on Shaul's side and not on David's. As it is, they didn't know yet. They didn't know yet what kind of person David is. As far as they knew, B'derech HaTeva, B'derech Klala, a new dynasty takes over. They try to erase any trace of the previous one, and they try to purge anybody who was loyal to the previous one or whatever. With David, Taka not so. You actually, so it's interesting. The psukim in Shmuel Beis tell how right after David was crowned as king over only Shevet Yehuda, people came and told him, you know, the people of Yavish Gilad took Shaul's body and the bodies of his sons where the Plishtim had hung them up on the wall, and they went and buried them. Apparently, whoever told David that figured he's going to get these guys in trouble. Unfortunately, they were Baalei Lashon Hara at that time. So they probably figured that David is going to be angry at them. How you talking? You're showing loyalty to Shaul when I'm now the king. Adrabah, David sends them a very nice message to the people of Yavish Gilad and says, you did very good, and you did a great chesed for your master, and yes, now I'm king, but you have nothing to be afraid of. Adrabah, I'll protect you. But not everybody knew that, it seems, from Tosfos. So therefore, you could argue that people were afraid to make a hesed for Shaul. But second of all, also, a king is different. There's a tremendous bizoyim that he wasn't nisbad ka'alacha, and therefore it can be held against them. Marsha points out, in the same vein, the Gemara tells us elsewhere that when Yeshua passed away, also they failed to make a proper hesed for him, and Hashem was very angry at them, and there was a volcano that erupted at that time in token of that. Again, because Yeshua has the din of a melech. Maosha does also point out, you know, another consideration is also, you have to consider, did the person who passed away leave behind any sons? Yeshua, the Gemara tells us in Megillah, had only daughters. Shaul had only one son left over. His other three sons were killed with him in battle. He only has the one son, Ishbosheth, who was kind of out of the picture at that point anyway. So therefore, you could argue that Maoshal says that therefore it would be, you could say that it's Yekorah D'chayeh, that the Hesped is mainly for the honor of the living, but in both of those cases there really isn't any living who's going to be there anyway, at least not any sons who are going to be appearing publicly and listening to the Hesped. In any case, that's the question. So is it Yekorah D'chayeh or Yekorah D'shichvi? So the Gemara says, Mai, so what's the deal? Toshma. So let's first of all bring a proof. We have when Sarah passed away, by Yovei Avraham lispered the Sarah v'levkosa. Avraham came to mourn for Sarah and to cry for her. And the came, it means he wasn't there at the time. Rashi points out that, he had just come from Akedas Yitzchak. And in other words, everything had to wait until he came. In Chumash, Rashi explains he came from Be'er Sheva, because at the end of Parshas Vayera, after the Akedah, Yad Vayeshev Avraham be'Be'er Sheva. So, whatever the case, Avraham was not there, and apparently they didn't start anything until Avraham came to Hebron. Now, if you're going to say, though, that's for that the Hesped is for the honor of the living, what's the logic? Mishum Yikora de Avraham Mashul of the Sarah, for the sake of Avraham's honor, they're going to delay the Hesped for Sarah. Why didn't they, other people over there, the Bnei Ches, whoever else is there, Avraham's whole household, why don't they make the Hesped and arrange the burial without Avraham being there? Doesn't that show, therefore, it must be Yikora de Shichvi? It's for the honor of the dead, and therefore it's a greater honor for Sarah that Avraham should be there. And the answer is no. Even if you say it's Yekorah D'chayeh, Sarah Gufa, Nichala, Sarah herself would prefer it that way, that things should be delayed, Kiyehid Nesiach of Avraham, so that Avraham should get greater covered through the Hesped. By the way, the Medrash says Avraham's Hesped over Sarah was Esh Hayil, the paragraph Esh Hayil that we say Friday night, he said it as the Hesped for Sarah. And the Medrash mentions many details, the Medrash explains many details in it that hint at episodes in Sarah's life. It's at the end of Mishlei, yeah, later on Shlomo incorporated into Mishlei, yeah. But, for example, I think one example I can think of where it says, Doshat Semer Ufishtim, the idea is, Semer Ufishtim together are Kilayim. So Semer by itself is fine, Pishtim by itself is fine, but not the combination, representing what she did with separating Yitzchak and Yishmael, because they can't be together. That would make a Kilayim.
Before
Matan Torah, yeah. Okay. The Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring another proof again from the son of Yerovam that we were talking about before, where the Navi tells Yerovam's wife that the Sofgalei Koyseh Bekovroi, so the whole Jewish people will mourn for him and will mourn for him and will bury him. So before we use that pasuk to So, by the way, as far as Avraham and Sarah, Marsha adds the point that if it was in fact that Avraham came right away, then there's no reason to mention Vayavai Avraham. So the whole point, the very fact that the pasuk makes the point Vayavai Avraham implies that he was elsewhere, and then Vayavai Avraham Lisbod implies that he was elsewhere, and they waited until he came until to make the hesped. So why would that be if it's Mishum Yekorah Dechaye? And the answer is, and Marsha also adds, you can't say it's because they didn't have a place to bury it, because look, we do know Avraham had to buy a place to bury her, but fine, it still doesn't have to mention Vayavai Avraham Lisbod. Then it would say Vayavai Avraham Likbod or something like that. The fact that it says Vayavai Avraham Lisbod implies the hesped did not start until Avraham came, which took time for him to get from Beersheba or wherever he was at the time, and therefore that doesn't that demonstrate that it's Mishum Yekorah D'Shichvi? And the answer is no. Even if it's Yekorah D'Chaye, Sarah herself would prefer it that way, that Avraham should have the covered of having a nice hesped for her. It mentions, by the way, the Medrash mentions that I think Rashi mentions it on the pasuk, on b'chol yotze shar, b'chol boy shar ira, that everybody came to be goymul chesed besara, everybody in town, all the bnei ches of Chevron also came to join the levaya. I think it even says they got some kind of reward for that minashamayim, but I don't remember what it was. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says Toshma again. You have the pasuk by Yerovam's son, the softer like Horisov, a kovru oisai. The whole Jewish people will mourn for him and will bury him. So before, we use that pasuk to demonstrate that burial is mishum kapara. We tried to use it to demonstrate that it's mishum kapara or mishum bizoyan, as the case may be. But now we're focusing on the hesped. If you're saying the hesped is mainly for the honor of the living, ani bnei yikara ninu, are people of Yerovam's family, the rest of the family who are going to be mourning for him, do they deserve that kind of honor? They're all Rishoyim. We're saying he's the one tzaddik among the family that we say, Bito Mishmautoi, that he abandoned his guard post and allowed people to be Oilu L'regel. So he himself, before, the Gemara had called him a tzaddik relative to them, but they certainly don't deserve that kind of honor.
Yes. Dead?
No, well, here we're talking, here we're on the next one, now on Yerovam's son.
That's an Arai.
So we said, from Avraham is not a proof. You could say that it's Yekorah D'Shichvi, and you could say it's Yekorah D'Chaye, but it's Sarah herself would like Avraham to get that honor. So now we're saying, now what about Yerovam's son? Why would we assume, why would the Navi be stressing the point that Yerovam's family is going to get honor through the Hesped for the Saviyah? And the answer is the same thing. Tzaddikim appreciate that other people should get covered through them, even if those people are Rishoyim. So therefore, Avia would like it that way, that his family, even though they're Rishoyim, that they should have the opportunity to have a hesped and be honored by their association with him. So no proof necessarily that it's Yekorah D'Shichvi. Okay, Toshma, we'll bring another proof from a pasuk that we quoted before. Yirmiyahu talks about the Rishoyim of his times. Lo yisoftu v'lo yikaveru. They will not be mourned, they will not be buried. Again, we brought that pasuk before as far as burial. Now we're bringing it as far as the hesped. So again, iyamet l'shem yikoreh d'shichvi. If you say that the hesped is primarily for the honor of the dead, shaper, then we understand why Yirmiyah is warning them they're not going to have that. Dehani la b'nei yikoreh. These people, we're saying, don't deserve that kind of covered of a hesped. Eli amad yekorah d'chayehu, but if you say it's primarily for the honor of the living, honami yisoftu, shouldn't they also be able to have to be mourned kehechid tehevelu yekorah l'inshi, so that other people will be honored through them? And the answer is, here we can say, on the other hand, lo nichalehu l'tzadikai d'nisiyatu b'rishaya. We can argue the other way around. Maybe the tzadikim don't want that the rishoyim should have honor through them. So in other words, we can go either way. The Gemara sometimes uses the expression like zil hocha kamad chila, v'zil hocha kamad chila. No matter which way you go, you can push it off to the other direction. You can argue that tzaddikim do appreciate when even Rishoyim get honor through them, and that would explain the pasuk by Yerovam's son. Or you can say they would not, and that would explain the pasuk by Yirmiyah. You can't really prove one way or the other. Okay. Toshma. Let's bring another proof. Also from Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah tells King Tzidkiyahu, who was the last king of Yehuda, he tells him, you know, you really, what you need to do is surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, and serve him loyally and not rebel against him. If you don't, then you're going to cause the Churban and the Golos. But, and he tells him, if you don't, and you continue fighting, you're going to wind up, don't think you're going to get away with it, you're going to wind up being captured by Nebuchadnezzar's soldiers and taken to Bavel. However, Yirmiyah tells him, don't worry, Nebuchadnezzar is not going to kill you. The Shalom Tomus, he tells him, you will die in peace. over Mitzvah, which actually what happened was that Tzidkiyahu spent many years, he was blinded, and he spent many years in jail. The Bisholem Tomos was he got to experience during his lifetime that Nebuchadnezzar finally dropped dead many years later, and that because of a whole story, because they weren't sure whether Nebuchadnezzar was really dead, they eventually had to open up his grave and schlep him out. So Tzidkiyahu got to hear about all, he couldn't see it because he was blinded, but he got to hear about all of that, and then he passed away shortly after that. So that was the Bisholem Tomos. At least he had the satisfaction that his arch enemy, Nebuchadnezzar, is dead and degraded like that. Anyway, Yirmiyahu tells him, years earlier, over Mishrafos have Isecha, Malachim Arishonim Ugamer, they will make the same kind of burning that they did for your ancestors, the Uliu king. The Gemara tells us, the Uliu kings. The Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, it's also mentioned briefly later in our Masechta, later in that when by the funeral of a king they would burn his personal items, they would burn certain personal items of his, as well as sometimes they would also burn lots of incense and things like that. In honor of him, but they would burn his personal things, like, because nobody can use them in the Masechta. They talk about nobody is allowed to use them after the king, so they would burn them as an honorable thing for him. The Gemara talks about in the next Perek is that maybe considered Chukas HaGoyim, because the Goyim regularly do that, but no, since we have a Pasuk that says that they would do it for Jewish kings, like we're saying over here to Tzidkiyahu, so it's not considered Chukas HaGoyim when we're allowed to do it. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah mentions, for example, that when Rabbi Gamliel passed away, Unkelos, the famous Ger, brought a huge amount of besamim, a huge amount of incense, and burnt it by Rabbi Gamliel's funeral. And he explains, you know, listen, where I come from the families of the Roman emperors, they do this for the emperors. If they deserve that kind of thing, Allah has come, Rabbi Gamliel deserves it even more. So again, Yirmiyahu is telling Tzidkiyahu that you're going to have the same kind of thing. They're going to make a nice honor, even though it's going to be many years, that you won't have been king anymore. You're going to have been in jail in Babel for many years. Nevertheless, they're going to give you a king's honors by your funeral. And they're going to mourn for you, and they're going to say, Oi, master, like they do by a king's funeral. So that's all part of the Hesed. Now, if you're going to say the whole point of the hesped is for the honor of the living, my nafkalemina, then why is that good news for Tzidkiyahu? Why does Yirmiyahu have to tell him that? And the answer is hokikamalei, because what it means is that Yirmiyahu is telling him the same kind of honor that the Jewish people had from your predecessors, the Uriu kings, where they made a hesped for them and they got honor. People made a hesped. Oh, what a good king this was! They'll do the same kind of thing for you, and that way it'll and they will get covered through that. So you can still say therefore that the hesped is primarily for the covered of the living, not so much for the covered of the mess.
No,
I mean, among the kings of Yehuda, there were many good kings. There were some who were good and some who were bad. We're going to have the next one we're going to talk about now is one good, one bad one. Tzidkiyahu himself, the Gemara says, in a couple of places, was actually a great tzaddik. He was a tzaddik gomer. The problem was, first of all, that he had sworn to Nebuchadnezzar to never reveal a secret of his and to stay loyal to him, and he broke that shavua. Officially, he had the Sanhedrin be mad to it, but whatever, there was a chil Hashem involved in that, and also he disobeyed Yirmiyahu, who was telling him over and over, surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, and don't cause that there should have to be a siege and a churban and a galus, and he didn't listen. Basically, the Gemara summarized it in some place, and the Gemara summarized it, we're going to have it later in the Masechta, that he himself was a tzaddik, but his subjects were mostly Rishoyim. And he wasn't moche in them, and that's also part of the problem, that they were doing Averis, and he wasn't protesting and trying to stop them. Fine. So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring another proof, again, about this question of whether the Hesped is primarily for the living or the dead. Chapter Tesvav of Tilim starts off, Hashem miyogu ba'alacha, Hashem, who will dwell in your tent, where the tent is one of the metaphors that's used in many places in Tanakh for Olam Haba. So who is going to be a Ben Olam Haba? And David goes and lists over there 11 good midas. The Gemara at the end of Makkos goes through that whole capital and explains it pasuk by pasuk and what all these 11 midas represent. We'll get to it then in a few months, Beis Hashem. But anyway, one of them in the middle of the capital, Nivze be'enav nimas. Nivze and nimas both mean repulsive or disgusting. The einav is eyes. So some mafarshim understand that it means nivze, the one who is degraded. The einav in the eyes of the tzaddik, nimas is considered disgusting. Others learn it the other way. It means nivze, the one who is the Nivze, it's degrading in his eyes, but Einov Nim, whatever, whether you consider Nivze to be the description of the Rosha and Nimos to be the description of how the Tzaddik reacts to him, or the other way around, whatever it means, in other words, the Tzaddik looks down at the Rosha and considers him disgusting and repulsive. So what does that mean? The Gemara says, the Chizkiya Melech Yehuda. Specifically, the example of that in history is Chizkiya Melech Yehuda. Now, Chizkiya himself was a great tzaddik. We're going to have a lot about him later in the Masechta. And Perek Chelek, the Gemara is going to tell us even that he could have been Mashiach. Meanwhile, his father, Ochaz, was a notorious Rosha. His father, Ochaz, was the king before him, and Ochaz brought an Avodah Zarah into Eretz Yisrael and even into the Beis Hamikdash, and did a lot of other terrible Avedas. He closed up all the shuls and Batei Medrash in order to try to stop the people from learning Torah. He was a vile Rosha. So now, when he died, so the Gemara says, the Chizkiya Melech Yehuda should gir atz moisav shal aviv b'mita shal chavodim. He dragged his father's bones around Yerushalayim on a bed of ropes. So this way, it would be a bizoyan for him. This way, in other words, first of all, other people would take musa from it. This is how Rishoyim are treated. We should be careful not to act this way ourselves. Second of all, it would be a kapara for Ochaz himself. In fact, the Gemara tells us later in Ar Masechta, when it goes through, you have the various kings in Jewish history who lost their place in Olam Haba, Ochaz is not on that list. Why not? The Gemara ends up saying, because he had a son, Chizkiya, who was a tzaddik. So Maharsha explains elsewhere that that's tack of the vote. Why does Ochaz not lose his place in Olam Haba? Because of the way that now Chizkiya treated him by his funeral. That was a kapara for him. But this way it also gave Musar to everybody else. Rashi also points out, now Chizkiya wasn't concerned about his own honor, that people are going to look down on him, and he's treating his father that way. As far as his father's covered, he wasn't worried about it either, because Nosi Ba'am Choloi Sur, the Pasuk says, you're not allowed to curse a Nosi among your people, but among your people means Ba'osa Maisa Amcha, when he acts the way a Yid should act. Ochaz did not, and therefore Chizkiya is justified in doing this. In fact, the Gemara in Pesachim, the Mishnah, I mean, Brais or whatever in Pesachim, lists six unusual things that Chizkiya did, and this is one of them. Three of them the Chachamim approved of, three of them they didn't approve of. One of the three that the Chachamim approved of is this: Gir Atzmas Shalaviv Amita Shachavalim Behoydu Loy. And the Chachamim agreed that he had done, the Chachamim of his times agreed that he had done the right thing. So that's what he says, Nivza Ba'in of Nimas. He was willing to be degraded in his own eyes and disgusting in his own eyes, not worried about his own covered, because it needs to make a Kiddush Hashem. Now, well, the point is, the Amit Yikorah Dechayehu. Now, if you say that the covered that we make for the mess, and that means, in other words, again, not just the Hesped, but all the covered that we do by the Levaya, if it's mainly for the mess, if you say it's mainly for the living, my time of Ovid Hochi, then why would Chizkiya be doing that? If it's not his covet, if it's the covet of the living, then why is he degrading the living by not having a proper hesped and a proper funeral for Ochaz? And the answer is, Mishum to have a kapara lovin. Fine, but he wants to do it in order that it should be a kapara for his father. So the question is, Mishum kapara da'avua mashiru l'kora d'chol Yisrael. So what? Just because of a kapara for his father, does that entitle him to put down the covet of the whole Jewish people? And the answer is, yeah, Yisro Gufayim, Nichalahu, the Jewish people would like it that way. The Machlu, Yikarayu, they would be willing to be moichel their covered so that Ochaz can have his kapara and not lose his place in Olam Haba. And in fact, it works. And as we said, the Chachamim of Chizkiyahu's times approved of what he did. So still no proof whether the hesped and all the covered that we give to the mess, is it primarily for the mess? Is it primarily for the living? We don't really have a proof one way or the other yet. Ochaz himself maybe would have agreed to this also, maybe not, I don't know, but whatever. Okay. The Gemara continues, Toshma, fine, let's bring another proof. The Gemara in Ksubas, both Bavli and Yerushalmi, goes into the details of what happened before and at the time that Rebbe passed away. So one of the things is that the Gemara mentions the instructions that Rebbe gave for his Levaya. He says, Amalahu Rebbe, Al Tispiduni Ba'ayoris, don't make Hespedim for me in the small towns that we go through. Namely, Rashi explains like this. Rebbe, his last few years, lived in Sipori. The Medrash says that he lived for 17 years in Sipori. He said on himself, in the same way as Yaakov Avinu lived in Eretz Mitzrayim, and he had his best years over there in Eretz Mitzrayim for 17 years, the same way I lived in Sipori for 17 years. The Gemara and Silvus explains because Sepoti is high up on a mountain, and the air is better, and there, therefore it was better for Rebbe's health. Before that, he had lived in a town called Beis Sha'arim, and that's where he was buried. And nowadays, you can go, there's a big archaeological park in Beis Sha'arim. They found over there what seems to be the cave where they buried Rebbe and his wife and his Talmidim, and they have various other caves, burial caves all over the place over there. You can go visit it nowadays. So they have to carry his Aron from Sipori to Beis Sha'arim. On the way, they're going to be passing through various towns. So he tells them, don't make the Hespedim in the small towns on the way, only in the big cities. And the reason is because then there'll be a larger crowd. And the Hesped and the covered will be greater. Rebbe is not intended for his own covered, of course, but his covered is the covered of the whole Jewish people. A few other points in it are also that if it's in a small town, then there's going to be more arguments about it because there's less room for people to gather, and because you can have more argument, different Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi talk about, there's going to be different arguments who should be speaking by the Levaya as opposed to in the big cities. It's a known thing. You have the Shtot Rav and other dignitaries like that are going to be speaking. Whatever the case, the point is, So now, the Yamat Yekor Dechaye, who, if you say that the Hesped is mainly for the honor of the living, my Nachta, let me know. Then again, why would Rebbe care what happens when it has nothing to do with his covered anyway? And the answer is similar, like to the answers we said before. Kosova Rebbe, because Rebbe figures the Sraku Bar Yisrael Tfei Purta. The Jewish people should get the greatest possible honor from my Levaya and from my Hesped, and therefore he wants it to be in the big cities where the crowds will be bigger and where there will be less machloikas about who's going to speak and whatever. There's also a vote on it. The famous Rav Reb Lezer Silver said by a hesped after Reb Chaim Ozer passed away. He said another meaning of Al Tispiduni Ba'ayores is you're making a hesped. You're thinking back what a Gadol B'Yisrael like Reb Chaim Ozer accomplished for the Jewish world. Don't just think of Ayores of the little tiny things. The Kraken Gdolim. Think of on a world changing level that he did for the Jewish people. And the same thing with Rebbe in his times. Okay. So still no proof. All right, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring another proof. In our Mishnah, we said that normally you're not allowed to leave the body unburied for too long, and if you do, then you're over, like Solomon, you've lost Allah 8. But the Mishnah had said, Halina l'chvod, if you leave over the body unburied for his covered, lahavi la'orim tachrichin, for example, because you need to get an orin, or you need to get tachrichin for the mess, ain't over all of, then you're not over on Lois Solomon, because then you're doing it for his covered. So what do we mean l'chvod, my lab l'chvod, shall mess? Don't we mean for the covered of the dead person? So you see that all the covered that's done for him by the Levaya is mainly for him, and that would answer our question. And the answer is lots kvodah shochai. No, you can say it means for the covered of the living. Okay, the question is from kvodah shochai, mavisle the mess. So what's the logic? For the sake of the covered of the living, we should be allowed to delay the Levaya and the burial of the mess? And the answer is because ki omer achmana le'solven nivlos alayit. Because look, what's the context where the Torah says don't leave the body unburied? Is rare. There's how to get into this. Because he said that they would hang the bodies of certain condemned criminals on a gallows for a short amount of time. And there the pasuk says le'solven. So therefore dumya de toleri. So therefore, when do we say that it's a problem? When it's like when a person is hanging the isbe bizoyan, where there's a bizoyan to him that he's hanging there for too long. Aval hocha, but over here, given the less be bizoyan, here there is no bizoyan. So therefore, fine. It's not for the covered of the mess. It's for the covered of the living. You could argue, but nevertheless, it's still, as long as you're doing it for some kind of covered, then, and in this case, that is, relatives should have covered from him, Lori, then it wouldn't be a problem. So therefore, still no proof. You could still argue it means it's for the honor of the living, and therefore, and nevertheless, that still is a valid reason to delay the Levaya and to delay the burial. All right, the Gemara says, Toshma, well, let's bring another proof from a Braisa. Helina l'chvodoi, suppose that you left over the mess for the sake of his greater honor, l'shamea olav ayores, for example, to announce and to gather together people from the nearby cities to come and join the Levaya, l'hovi l'mekoninus, or to bring these mekoninus, these professional mourning women, where they would go, they would make noises, or they would recite poems or whatever that would arouse people's emotions and then bring them to tears. Or to bring him an oran tachrichin, so then you're not over for delaying the burial, because everything you're doing is only for the cover of the mess. So there you have, the Braisa is clearly spelling out and saying that all of this is for the cover of the mess. And the answer is not really, because Hachikava, for the Brisa, may mean Kolo Oisel Chvodesh Ochai, whatever is being done for the honor of the living, ain't by Bizoyan Lames, so there's no problem of Bizoyan for the dead by delaying the Levaya and the burial because of that. So you could still argue that's primarily for the honor of the living. Okay. The Gemara says Toshma. Fine, let's bring one more proof. Reb Nosson Omer, Simon Yofel Lames, Shenifroin Remenu La'acha Misa. It's a good simon for a person when he passed away that he gets paid back in this world after he dies, that something happens by his levaya to impinge on his covered. And that helps give him a kapara. Mes shalei nisbad, when you have a mes who was not mourned, v'lo nikvar, and was not buried. Now, Tosfos earlier in the sugya explains we don't mean not buried at all. What we mean is not buried with his proper covering. So like we had a few days ago, we had the story of Boya Michsa over there, that whole long story of the Chosid Echad and the tax collector who both died on the same day, and then people got mixed up by their funerals or whatever. So what happened? That Chosid Echad lacked his the cover that he should have had by his Levaya, because instead they mixed him up with the other guy, and then he got a kapara from that for the one thing that one time he had heard people insulting a Talmid Chacham and didn't speak up in protest. So therefore, so you see, says Reb Nosson, when he wasn't mourned or when he wasn't buried, and again, Tosfos is saying not buried at all, but rather not buried with his proper covering. With that said though, it may not be that everybody agrees to that. One of the kinnos that we say on Tisha B'Av when we talk about the people who were killed are Kiddush Hashem during the Crusades. So one of those kinnos mentions this line from the Gemara, Simen Tov Adam Shle Nispad V'Nikba Kashura, where there, Lechora, many of them were not buried at all, and the Paitan there is still saying that it's a Simen Tov for them. In any case, Reb Nosson continues, Oshechaya Gerratoi, or for example, if wild animals are dragging away the body. So again, according to Tosfos, we would have to say that then you retrieved it from the wild animal and buried it, but yeah. Oshoy Shomim Zalfim Amitosoi, or if it's raining at the time of his Levaya, and therefore it's raining right there on the Mita, Zeu Simon Yofel Mess. All these, says Reb Nosson, are a good simon for the mess, that therefore it shows that he's getting his final kapara. Shmamina, you caught it b'shchivahu. So therefore, you see clearly from this that the whole thing, all the honor that he's getting by his levaya, is all mainly for the dead. Because, and that's why Reb Nosson's saying, if something happens to prevent him from getting that full covered, then instead it actually serves as a kapara for him. Shmamina. So that proves it once and for all that the hesped and all the honor that's done by the levaya is for the honor of the mess. The result is, therefore, so it comes out from that what the Gemara had said at the beginning of the sugya. If a person says, "Don't make a hesped for me," then we have to follow what he says. And then on the other hand, though, if he didn't say anything one way or the other, then we will require the Yoshin to give him that covered and arrange for a hesped. And vice versa, if he said he does want, then we do have to do it. So that's how it is. Therefore, because it's his covered, he has the right to forego it, but the Yoshin do not. There have been various Gdolei Yisrael throughout history. There have been various prominent Rabbanim who would give instructions before they passed away that they don't want a big hesped made for them. With that said, even though we're saying over here it's Yekarta Shichli, nevertheless, various other Gdolei Yisrael would often point out that the fact is there is an element of Yekarta Dechaye, there is an element of honor for the living as well, and if nothing else, even if you say it's primarily for the honor of the mess, there's also the fact is a hesped is also meant to have an effect on us as well, and therefore sometimes they would give orders by the Levaya that we should override what that God of Israel said and make a hesped for him anyway. Or sometimes they would kind of like circumvent it. They would say, look, we're not allowed to make a hesped for him, but nobody said we can't cry for him. Or things like that. So Yid Gitzach and Eitzah, they always found a way when somebody deserves that kind of hesped and that kind of public mourning and all, they always found a way to make it happen when necessary.
We have cases of that that we know about.
I've read of such cases by the funerals of the, for example, one example I think is when Rabbi Akiva Eger passed away, it's brought that he didn't want that they should make big hasedim for him, but the Chassam Sofer, who was actually his mechutin, ordered that they should anyway. He's the God of Israel, he has not had the ability to even though it's for his covet, it also, there's also the effect that it has on the rest of the Jewish people.
So that makes sense to say. truthful statements.
That's also say truthful statements. That's what, that is actually, as I understand it, that is actually the reason behind the Minhag Chabad that we don't actually do hespedim at the funeral. Mm-hmm. Because what if you over-exaggerate a little bit, then it's not good for the neshama. Mashen, can you wait until Shiva or Shloshim or whatever, and then you have a get-together and you talk, then if you exaggerate a little bit, then it's not so, then the neshama is already mostly withdrawn from the world by that point, and therefore it's less of an issue. As I understand it, that's the reason behind the Minhag. In that connection, you have also as far as the inscription on the Matseva. Also, you have to be careful that the inscription on the Matseva is also not over exaggerated. There's a story involving, I think, I want to say, the Hill of Paracha, I don't remember, where one time he passes by a certain place and he sees a Matseva with a whole bunch of flowery descriptions on it, and he asks one of his Talmidim to take a chisel and start chiseling it out. And after he finished doing it, he said, "Now I just did a favor for this Nifter, because until now they were demanding of him in Shemayim, it says this, this, and this on your tombstone." And you didn't live up to that. Yeah. So I think what's actually brought in Shulchan Aruch is you're allowed to exaggerate a little bit, but not. You have to be careful. You have to be careful to reach a stopping point.
What happens if you don't?
If you don't, then we're saying it can be a problem for the neshama. So therefore, you have to be careful to begin with.
Matter of truth.
Yeah, it's a matter of truth, but it's also a matter of that the neshama shouldn't be demanded of it. And Shemayim, how come you didn't live up to these things that they were saying about you and writing about you? Yeah. Okay. Further on, the Gemara talks about now again, the Mishnah had said that after the person has been executed by Beis Din, they would have two Batei Kvaros, two cemeteries, one for people who got Skila or Srefa, and one for people who got Hereg or Chenek, and they would bury them there until the flesh decayed, and then they would unbury the bones and rebury them in their usual family plot. So the Gemara explains the reason is because you can't bury a Rosha next to a Tzaddik. These people who have been executed by Beis Din are still considered, to a certain extent, Rishoyim. Fine, they did. They said Vidui, they have their place in Olam HaBa, but nevertheless, they still, that's the Gemara is going to discuss further, that they still, to a certain extent, are considered a Rosha, and within the Chayvim, Mrs. Beis Din themselves, Skila and Sefa being stronger, Mrs. Beis Din, than Hereg and Chenek, for worse Averis, therefore somebody who got Skila or Sefa is a bigger Rosha than somebody who got Hereg or Chenek, and therefore you have to bury them separately. So the Gemara says, "Amar of Acha Bachanina, Minayin Shein Kovrim Rosha Etzal Tzadik." How do we know this din that you're not allowed to bury a Rosha next to a Tzadik? Dichtiv. So you have a pasuk like this. So in Melachim it describes after Elisha passed away, every year, bandits, groups of bandits from Moab would invade Eretz Yisrael and grab crops and grab whatever they could. And people were afraid of them and people would hide from them when they saw them. So one time it describes that there was a Leviah going on. People were getting ready to bury somebody and they were attacked by one of these bands of Moabite terrorists. So they dropped the body and accidentally they dropped it into Elisha's caver. And so the pasuk is right. Hehem kovim ish. They were burying a man. Vihine roas hagdud, and they saw one of these Moabi terrorist groups. Vayashlichu as ish bekever Elisha v'gomer, and they dropped the man into the caver of Elisha. And the pasuk says that his body actually touched the bones of Elisha. Vayichi vayokam al raglav, and he came tchias amesim and stood up on his feet. So in other words, the idea would be that this guy was a Rosha. And therefore, the Eibishter didn't want that he should be buried next to the Tzaddik, Elisha, and therefore, if that means that he has to come alive and then move away from there, then that's how it's going to be. Rashi explains that who was this guy. Rashi identifies him as he was a false Navi from a story in Melachim Aleph. A story in Melachim Aleph in connection with Yeravam, where at one point Hashem sends a true Navi, Idoi, to warn Yeravam, what's going to happen if he continues with his Egle Azav and all of that. The upshot is that later in that story, there's a false Navi who tricked Idoi into violating his own Nevuah. We're going to talk about the details of the story later in the Masechta. The upshot is this false Navi, later on, so he lived a long life, and now we're saying that he finally died over there, and they were going to bury him, but they accidentally dropped him in Elisha's caver, and therefore now he stood up and left there. So therefore, see, don't bury a Rosha next to a Tzaddik. Marsha points out, by the way, you do find, as far as that Novi Sheker from the story of Idoi, he actually gives instructions to his children that when he dies, you should be buried next to the Tzaddik, next to the Novi Idoi. Because he says, Idoi had said in Nevuah that everybody who worshipped the Egle Azov, their bones are going to be pulled out of their graves and burnt on the Mizbechas, and he doesn't want that to happen to him, but if I'm next to the Tzaddik, then I'll be protected. So you see that they did bury the Rosha next to the Tzaddik. So Maharshal explains fine, but there it was after the bone, after the flesh had already rotted away. And again, we're saying even by the Chayvim Mrs. Bastian, then such a thing is allowed. But here we're talking about this guy was a flesh burial, and here his body is touching Elisha's body. So therefore, you see that you don't bury a Rosha next to a Tzaddik. So the Gemara asks Amalei Rav Papa. So Rav Papa asks him. The Gemara has this also in Chulin, where there was Abaya had said this. So Rav Papa says to Abaya, "Well, how do you know it's because of that you can't bury a Rosha next to a tzaddik? The Duma LeKiyumi V'Hina Pishnayim Berucha Chayelai. Maybe the reason why this had to happen was to be Mekayim what Elisha before Eliyahu had gone up to Shemayim. Elisha says to him, "Please give me a double portion of your spirit. In other words, I want to be able to accomplish double as many nisim as you did." And Eliyahu told him, if you see when I'm being taken up to Shemayim, then you'll have that schus, and if not, then not. And he did. He actually was able to see Eliyahu go up to Shemayim. So Rashi mentions on the Psukim, if you look in the Psukim in Sefer Melachim, you'll find eight Nisim that Eliyahu did, and 16 that Elisha did. So he actually did do double as many. But now, one of the Nisim that Eliyahu did was to be Mechaya Mesim. You had the son of the Ishat Sophasis. Now, Elisha, during his lifetime, also did only one, the son of the Ishat Shunamis. So now, maybe the Rapapa says the reason why this guy had to come alive again was to be Mechaya in the second one. So that doesn't prove that it's because he's a Rosha and can't be buried next to the Tzaddik. Mind you, there is, by the way, in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, it has a whole different understanding. There it has the understanding that this guy they were burying was actually a big Baal Tzedakah, and a big Baal Chesed, and a big Baal Tzedakah, and he had the schus of coming alive with Tzchias HaMeisim because of the tremendous Tzedakah that he had done. So not like our Gemara is saying that he was a Rosha. So the Papa says that maybe it has to do with that. Omalei, so Abaya answers, Imihochi, if that's all it was, Heinrich Tanya, then consider what it says in a Braisa. Al Laglov Oma, the positive says he stood up on his feet, implying he just stood up on his feet. Ola Beisa, the Holach, he didn't go back home. In other words, the guy came alive, Tiesa Mason, he got up on his feet, he walked a few feet, and dropped dead again. If it was to be Mechaya Mason again, so then that wouldn't be. The same way as the Ishat Sofas, the son of the Ishat Sofasis and the Ishat Shanamis, they lived long, healthy lives afterwards. The same way, if it had been to be Mechaya in that, then it would have been the same thing. If now the guy comes alive only for a minute, it can only be because he's a Rosha and doesn't deserve to be buried next to the Tzaddik Elisha. Okay, so the question is, Dihina Pishnaim Hechem Ashkachas La, well then, where's the second time then that Elisha was Mechaya Mason? Where do you find that he brought somebody back to life? So he answers him that Rabbi Yochanan should repeat Saras Naaman, that he healed Naaman Saras, and Saras she shkula kames, and you know that Saras is considered like dead. As we find when Miriam had Saras and Aaron says to Moshe, let her not be like the dead. So now the Gemara finishes, so therefore that he healed Naaman Saras, that's considered the second time. And the Gemara finishes off, the same way you don't bury an outright Rosha next to a Tzaddik, the same way you don't bury a worse Rosha next to a lesser Rosha, which is why you have to have one Beis HaKvaris for the people with Skila and Seifa, and another one for the ones with Hereg and Chenek, same idea, in other words. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ola, Vav Tammuz. We have what's going to come out from Shemayim Torah Chadoshim Etitetze in Mashiach's times, and it's going to come down here on earth. Especially, we have that stress, the fact that coming from Shemayim and coming down to earth is especially very much underscored with the Torah Chadoshah of Melech HaMashiach. Because we know, as the Rambam describes him, he's going to be a tremendous Navi, he's also going to be a Baal Chochma, even greater Chochma than Shloimeh, and Shloimeh himself was Chochma Mikol Adam, and therefore Mashiach will teach the whole people. So in other words, what this Torah Chadoshah is going to be revealed by him in a way of Nevuah, and it will be drawn down into the Chochma, Bas Adam, which he will be able to teach us. Continuing with Halachas of Tzitzis, we were talking about who's Chayev and Potter from Tzitzis, but okay, now we begin a new Simen Yud Ches, about the time of Tzitzis. So the thing is, Laila, nighttime, is not considered a time of Tzitzis, because the Pasuk says, Isam Oisai, and that excludes Sus Laila, that excludes nighttime clothing. What do we mean by nighttime clothing? We're going to define in the next Tzif. But meanwhile, though, a blind person's clothing would be Chayiv and Tzitzis. He can't see, whereas there is Isam Oisai. Other people can see it. So therefore, even he himself wears it. The blind person, he has to put tzitzis on it. But nightwear is not, and we'll learn in the next siman what the definition of nightwear is for that purpose. Api Kabbalah, the Arizal says we should wear tzitzis at night, which is why we have a pair of nighttime tzitzis. But Me'ikra Din, tzitzis applies only to garments for the daytime. And again, we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, what the definition of that is.